B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Noontime hour on a Thursday, 617-779-0985.
Mike Lombardi. My Thursday's back, Beetle. You know what I mean? A little bit?
I don't know what day
of the week it was. Like, I don't know. It's Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. We get it now. Got it.
Mike Lombardi now at The Athletic. He's a former front office executive in the NFL. He obviously worked for Bill Belichick for a time. And his son is now on the Patriots staff. So there's a lot of connections to the Patriots. So when Michael Lombardi says things, there's a natural link to the Patriots. I've accused him of it before. I think situations, he has either just blindly defended the Patriots or has he has a very pro-Patriot point of view, is what I would say. That's what I would say about Michael Lombardi. So Michael Lombardi, on his podcast, is making some headlines based on what he said about Tua Tagovailoa. Have a listen.
It's not just his hip. It's his ankle. It's his wrist. He broke his wrist the first day of spring ball one year. And then they fixed it. He came back and he rebroke it again. I mean, he's brittle. He is brittle. You can't deny it. You can say he's a really good player. Right. But it's easy for Mel and Todd and everybody else to turn the card in and say he's a good player because they don't look at this list of bust in front of them. If you're picking a quarterback, it's really hard to pick a good one. It's even harder with the guy who can't stay healthy. That's my point. So, yeah, two teams I've talked to have flunked him. They flunked him on not just the hip, on the multitude of injuries. Like, the risk far outweighs the reward.
That is him talking about multiple injuries to Tua, including a wrist injury previously undisclosed. We've heard about an ankle injury previously undisclosed. There's a lot of injuries popping up on this guy. And there's also this today. Hardy, you just mentioned it in your headlines, did you not? A tweet from Rap Sheet?
Yes, I did, about the Lions.
Yes, how about this? The Lions willing to move the number three pick.
Huh. What does that tell you, Hardy? If this kid's so damn good, he could be the savior. The hell are you getting out of the number three spot for? He's a Lions fan, but yeah. But you got Stafford. I
mean, they got that. They've got their quarterback. Come on.
They got their savior, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So you put all that together, the Lions' connections to the Patriots. You put together the fact that it's Michael Lombardi that's disclosing things about Tua.
You put Ben Volen's tweet from the other day, where you take the 23rd pick, Tooney in 87, wasn't it?
That was one of
pick and move it up.
Yeah, he was speculating.
For Tua,
he's speculating.
Those were very, very specific numbers to get the three.
I think there are people that think the Patriots are going after Tua. I think the people have jumped to that conclusion. I actually think on this occasion, what Lombardi's saying, it's just him having information and he's sharing it. I don't think he's, I mean,
this
he's right.
This
as
is
far
a personnel
as we know.
Guy. Yeah, this is a personnel guy, a football guy, looking at a guy and saying, give me your evaluation on him. I think this is where Mike gets into the personnel type stuff of, okay, if I was evaluating, so I look at it, as opposed to, okay, Bill's telling me this, I need to pump this guy. Like, I know Lombardi's got some takes, really, really takes, some of his takes wrong as far as being related to the Patriots. Like, he had a take on Hightower where, you know, just a little bit of a toughness issue. Like, and Hightower has disproved that over and over and over throughout playoffs and Super Bowls, playing hurt, playing through injury, trying to get back onto the field. So Mike's not always spot on with that. But, I mean, from being around the game of football and looking at a guy and not forgetting this injury or that one, I think this is more of a personnel thing with him. As far as I'm evaluating the players, this is what I think of Tua. Like I've told you what I think of Herbert. I don't think this is a strong quarterback class. I don't.
So I wouldn't
mortgage the future.
The
to
guy's
get up,
got more
to get up to number three.
The guy's got more and more injuries coming up.
Yeah.
Like so he's let me get this straight.
People forget before the bowl game a couple years ago when he broke his ankle, remember? And he had to have surgery on it.
And so ankle, hips, wrists. But what else is wrong? Short, which is again not an injury, but just a problem.
Pinky, didn't he? Yeah.
Like would you draft this guy? Hell no, I would not draft this guy.
No, I wouldn't touch
him.
Are you
serious? Yeah. Stay away from this. It's a bad idea. And so I don't know. I don't think the Patriots are going to be in on him. But we'll see.
You're giving up too much to get to that spot to get that guy, and it just doesn't do anything well for Stidham. And if you think Stidham can play, put some people around him. Let's go. Let's saddle up.
Right. Let's and I think the Patriots as a team are far more inclined to put a guy at quarterback who they've had in their system for at least a year.
Yeah.
And has some sort of base knowledge of what it is he's going to be doing when he goes out there, even if he hasn't done it live.
People forget Brady
at the NFL level.
Yeah, year two.
Right, and Brady hadn't done it live at the NFL level. Brady didn't play. He was buried on the depth chart.
And you got a franchise guy there with a $100 million contract, and Brady was a fourth quarterback, you know, and played his way into it. So, no,
but I
not
think
saying that, that hasn't
I think
been
there
done
are
before.
People that would be excited by the name. Oh, it's Tua.
Of course.
Like, that's a famous, you know, big name.
Alabama. Oh, great college player. It's like Tebow.
Right. Yeah. Right. Tim is in Brookfield. Hey, Tim.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on?
I want to say I don't think there's a chance that they mortgage the future to get a guy like Tua. And it's almost as annoying as people that wanted Cam Newton to come here. It's like the Cam Newton talk, it's never going to happen. Like, why would they do that?
Name. To go name. And get Tua, same reason for Tua. Name. That's why they get excited. That's why people get excited.
Yeah but Tua comes with risk. Cam Newton would come with far less risk.
Yeah, I was much more willing to engage in Cam Newton talk than I would about Tua.
Well, Cam's coming off an injury, too.
Yeah, but when I say risk, I mean,
played at the next level.
You're not giving up a lot to get him if he's working on a lot less than what he's made.
Yeah.
And you're talking about
no picks, no players, right?
He's shown he can play the position at that level. I mean, he hasn't done it recently, but due to the injury and some other challenges that he had in Carolina, but he's shown that he can do it. With Tua, you've got the injury risk, and you still don't know if he can be an NFL quarterback. They think he can. Some people think he can. Other people don't know. That's that's the ultimate risk in any player drafted into the NFL. Can they actually play at that level? And Cam Newton, at least at one point in his career, could.
And if you're the Patriots and you are at 23, you'd have to trade quite a bit, I think, to move up the board and get him. Assuming Tua was going to go high, and I don't know if that's the case anymore with this latest news. So maybe the number three pick wouldn't even be needed. But if you're giving up multiple picks, multiple good picks to do it, or you're giving up maybe Joe Tooney as Ben Volen threw in there, I mean, you're giving up real assets to go do it, whereas with Cam Newton, you're not. You're giving up some cash. And you're likely getting him on a prove-it type of deal for a year or something. So what you give up factors into that, too. 617-779-0985. There's another idea for the Patriots to replace Tom Brady, and that is to go all in on a boom or bust name in this NFL draft. A boom or bust quarterback. Go in and just decide to start him. We'll tell you what that idea is coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They say, oh my God, I see the way you shine. one more time. Ooh, I see you every time.
Pro Football Focus has a mock draft up, and it has the Patriots at number 23 in the draft, taking Jordan Love. Here's their reasoning behind it. Jordan Love, Utah State. What is that?
Oh, I wonder if Zoe is fiddling with his microphone. That's just a guess.
I'm back.
It says,
being a dick. Go ahead.
Drafting Love to New England makes sense for a couple of reasons. The first is the Patriots' current starter was an unheralded fourth-round pick who earned a middling 72.2 grade in last year's preseason.
From who? The draft people?
Unheralded? Kid played at Auburn. Was the number one kid coming out of high school. Went to Baylor. Transferred to Auburn. Got his ass kicked under Gus Malzahn's offense. What's unheralded about this kid? Kid played at a high level everywhere he was at. High school, college, both colleges. I mean, come on. Sidham doesn't get enough accolade for what he is. Like, people like to take a leak on him, but go ahead.
Well, he was drafted 133 overall, so I would say when you're drafted at 133, you're not exactly heralded.
No, I remember that, but I remember watching him as a sophomore, and I'm thinking, oh, God, this kid's going to be good. Jesus. And then he had a rough junior year. Yeah.
So it says, the second is that Love is seen as a boom or bust prospect. With all the tools to be an elite quarterback. Jim, you really want me to read this next line? Because it's instantly a fake promo.
Yeah.
I'm going to reword it.
Nope, read it. Read it, Beetle.
Nope. I'm rewording it. Love being a bust would likely result in the Patriots becoming major players in the Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields sweepstakes. So do you get that? Do you follow all this? They are saying, Go ahead, draft Jordan Love at 23, and go all in on Jordan Love starting. And if he turns out to be a boom, great. You've got a great young quarterback that is up and coming, and oh, wow, what a find. He turned out to be great, even though people are unsure about him. And if he's terrible, all of a sudden, hey, guess what? He was a bust. Your team stinks. You'll get a high pick. You'll be in the running to get a high pick and go after Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields next year.
Great idea. Now, for what team does this apply?
Lovie Smith coaches, that team.
Big, big problem that they want this for the New England Patriots.
Patriots. Oh, you want the
team coached by Belichick, yes.
Yeah, to flip a coin, take a quarterback, start him 16 games, and if he's 2-10 through the first 12, you just ride him. And then you say, yep, look at that. We finished in a position to where we can really go get a guy. So if your season is absolutely going down the toilet, you just stay the course for the next guy next year. That sounds Belichickian. It sounds Patriot-like. It sounds everything business as usual in Foxborough. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so insane. And I actually, I wanted to see who it was that wrote it. And it's Michael Renner at Pro Football Focus. I mean, Michael, you got to pay attention to the Patriots, man.
You got to watch football, buddy.
If he sucks, if they were to draft him and they were to put him in and he was terrible, they'd put him on the bench.
Yeah.
They wouldn't keep starting him.
Remember when Stidham went in that game and he threw that pick six to Jamal Adams? Guess what? He came right back out of that game. Yeah, Bill loves punishment, right? Bill loves sitting there and just getting booed by the home fans on a 2-14 year. That ain't going to happen here.
I mean, they could draft Jordan Love, sure, at 23, sure, all possible. You know what they would do if they drafted him because they liked him? You know what they do with him? They put him on the bench behind Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer for year one.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to start him. That's not who they are. That's not what they're going to do.
Not a big deal. Mahomes sat. We had to watch Alex Smith play. Aaron Rodgers sat. Steve McNair sat. Guys sit.
Yes. A lot of guys.
If you care
Aaron Rodgers, as you mentioned,
yeah,
Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. I mean, there are plenty of guys who have been in that spot that have not been. I mean, Steve Young sat for years. I know that he had USFL and Tampa Bay and stuff, but still. I mean, he went to San Francisco and went to the bench. But, you know, Wow. That, just, mean, that doesn't seem
you know
possible.
Me. I watch a little bit of college football. I don't even know who this kid is. I really don't. I watch
you
everybody throw
the.
I
Jordan
watch
Love.
Everybody. I know who he is now after doing some study on him, but I had no clue who this kid was in January. I go back to January, end of the year. Okay, I mean, we're so engulfed in NFL and NFL playoffs and that. And then we start getting ready for the combine and stuff. You start looking at names, and guys go up draft boards. I know guys are physical. He's a physical specimen. A lot of people compare him to Colin Kaepernick.
Can I give you an either or? Can I give you an either or, Zoe? Let's do this.
Yeah, give me an either or.
Would you trade Joe Tooney, the 87th overall pick, to get number three and draft Tua, or would you stay at 23 and take Jordan Love?
I'd stay at 23 and take Love.
So would I. Like, yeah, great, yeah. Sure, you can draft him. This isn't an anti-Jordan Love thing.
No,
this is about,
no, you just don't. It's just not ride or die.
We just proved that. We just proved that. Right,
right.
Like you're putting all your chips on. Like you go, you do that to get the three. You're putting your chips in on Tua. You know. Like,
yeah,
that's our guy. Sink or swim, man. We're going. Hey, we're going down. We're going down with this guy.
Will you be upset if they draft? Would you be upset if they do draft a quarterback at 23?
I would. Yeah.
You would.
Yeah.
Interesting. I wouldn't.
I don't think a good enough guy will be there at 23.
Okay, so it's about what you've scouted on the field, not about sort of the process. Okay.
I'd rather them do what they did with Stidham and pick a guy on day two. You know, like circle Jalen Hurts or Jake Fromm or, you know, Brady came back around sixth time. Okay, we're going to take him this time. I'd rather them do that. Yeah. Wait for Jimmy there in round two. Yeah, 23 is high. You have so many other needs right now. You have so many needs. You don't have a freaking tight end. I keep going back to that tight end. Give me the best tight end on the board at 23. Like, that's like, okay, that's plug and play. 23 should be, from all their draft picks, you know, from the 20s to the 30s, the McCourties, the Mankins, those are draft and play type guys. Now, you're picking in the 20s there. You need help there.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. I would not be opposed to them taking a quarterback at 23. It's not their greatest need, I guess, in terms of putting bodies on the roster because they don't really have tight ends.
Yeah, nobody and stood out to me. Yeah, well, quarterbacks at the combine. Like
well,
I said,
tight end. Tight end's also really important to what their offense is.
It's a weak year for tight ends. You know, last year was the Noah Font, Hockenshmit draft. You know? You didn't pick any then. You probably should have.
Riding or dying with Jordan Love, though, it sounds so absolutely ludicrous.
It's so not them. It is like, so not them.
How ludicrous was the idea? They're just not going to do that because I don't think Bill Belichick has it in him to tank.
No. God, no.
Do you think he has ever had a position or has ever been of the mindset that, oh, we should tank here, or we should not try and go out and win football games? There's just no chance of it happening for New England.
This is also a bad year to bring that up because it's a year that you might not have – you're not going to have OTAs. You're not going to have rookie camp. You're probably going to have a limited training camp. So you're going to do it of this year, of all years, the year have not enough time to spend with a guy?
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a good idea either. But if you want him to be terrible and be in the running again next year, I guess that could be great. What about 2011, Jim? 2011, they had the lockout situation, so they had less of a chance to work with quarterbacks that year. Was it what year was the NFL one?
That was 2011. Yeah, it was
2011. Okay.
Cam Newton was the number one pick that year, and then Blaine Gabbert was that draft. Jake Locker was that draft. Christian Ponder was that draft, and then in the second round, it was Dalton and Kaepernick who sat for a couple years.
Right, so the lockout ended at the end of July, and then they got into camp. They had a shortened preseason, right? They didn't have as much time with the players. They didn't have all the spring work that they typically get, and they didn't have players in the building. They didn't have young guys being able to hand over playbooks and get them up to speed on things. And there were other guys in that draft that didn't. Jake Locker was in that draft.
Yeah,
right?
Ponder, Gabbert, Locker are the big three busts.
Ooh, that's not good. And maybe they just weren't good anyway, but it makes it harder when you don't have that preparation time before you get up and running when you have young players that are just learning your offense for the first time.
Well, one name I saw compared to Jordan Love was Jake Locker, by the way, in one of these draft guides, yeah.
Oh.
Also Mahomes, though. That's the boomer bust.
That's crazy to me. Like, oh, he could be Jake Locker, he could be Mahomes.
I haven't seen
anyone going to be Mahomes? You know,
you run away, look this way, and throw the other way, and then turn your hair. You got to grow your hair out.
Jim Loth was huge on Mahomes when he got drafted. I will give you that, Jim.
Ever since I saw him throw it 80 yards, I said, oh, let me check this guy out.
Jim's all about that guy. He was all about him early with the Favre comparisons right away, the immediate Brett Favre comparisons.
I was all about Tua, too, until I saw him in person. Now, the last couple weeks, I'm kind of backing on him. I kind of want to like him again.
Even with all the injury stuff?
I don't know. There's something about it. I like him. Trent Dilfer said he's better thrower than Aaron Rodgers and Dan Marino today.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, God. God.
Ever seen him throw a ball?
He's better than Aaron Rodgers. He can throw it better than Rodgers and Marino?
That's what Trent Dilfer said. Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Like, Tua is one of the guys I've actually seen plenty of.
He's a wind-up guy.
Alabama's a team you see.
You ever watch Rodgers and Marino? It's from here, man, and they just flick the wrist. Tua's a big wind-up guy. But give me that crap, Trent. Jesus.
Anthony in Peabody's got a draft thought that I know we're going to get this call a million times, so go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, what's up? I was doing a call about Julian Edelman. I believe he's staying now. Zoe convinced me. He is your stick guy. But the way I look at the draft is I think Stidham is kind of the guy, going back to like all the comparisons they had with Bill and whatnot. So I think you just go out, you draft like a linebacker early because you really need to fill that defensive spot. And I think you can get Randy Moss's son kind of late.
There it is. We're gonna get a lot of these calls, Anthony.
Thaddeus Moss.
About Thad Moss.
Thaddeus Moss. Yep.
We're going to hear that a lot. People are going to want him.
Broken foot bone.
When did that happen?
Happened after the bowl game, right? As he was getting ready for the combine.
Really? Yeah. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, he had surgery on it. Yep.
Oh.
But he should be ready for the start of the season.
That means he's gonna drop a little more, no?
There's a couple of those guys. I think they found it in this combine. They found them, these cracks in the feet and the it's like the Edelman injury. They found them.
Yeah, there were like
the
two or
combine.
Three guys in the draft they found this up from. Yeah. The same injury.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. He was not projected to be a high pick to begin with.
No, he was like a 2, 3, 4 somewhere in there.
Yeah, I remember seeing a lot of fourth round stuff. So sure, I'm all for that. Patriots have picks in the middle of the draft that they can move around the
board.
Yeah, but
he's not like a big tight end, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't think that I'd pencil him in as being
blocking tight end, right? He's a flex guy. Yeah.
Yeah,
sort of an H.
Sure.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Wiggy, kind of, when you look at him.
Yeah. Man, he doesn't look like Billy D. Williams, but, you know.
617-779-0.
I mean, I go back watching some of those games.
Go ahead, yeah. Uh-huh.
Wiggy had some big catches for Tom, man. Absolutely. Back to that 01 year. Man, the snow game, the San Diego game. I think he was Brady's first touchdown. I think so. But that last drive, I watched that John Madden drive. Like, oh, well, you should take a knee here, you know. Yeah. Wiggy. Little
Wiggy.
Jiggle, I'm telling you. The dude had the second best set of hands that I played with. Ever.
They're getting ready for the draft. They're continuing to prep for their virtual draft that they're going to do from everyone's home. And they've discovered there's a new glitch. There's a new problem, Hardy. You know, this draft has been very problematic for these NFL guys.
They got a technical glitch?
Yeah. They got a glitch on the IT side.
Yes, yeah. Yes,
and
they
that
do.
Is, they don't want people in their houses. We'll tell you about it coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
It was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Hardy.
Yeah.
You know that RFTW, that ready for the, oh, Sheila. These guys, too. Father wears his Sunday best.
Well, these guys are actually British.
That exactly. Off the discussion yesterday, they tried to be like these guys. Oh, oh, oh. The Brits. You can't fake it. You can't fake Brit.
But these guys aren't. These guys aren't faking it. Ready for
They're
the
real
world
deal. Right.
Yeah, Ready for the World was from Flint.
Oh, Sheila. Right. Hello, Sheila. This is the jam.
All right, Beatle, so
help me out?
What's that?
Help you out what?
Now, you
What'd
were,
you say?
I believe Zoe was trying to make a comparison between this and Ready for the World with Oh Sheila.
Yeah, I thought so you handled it.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
He said one's from Flint and the other guys are actually British.
Right.
So that's
Where's Madonna? Where's Madonna from in Detroit?
Well, she... Rochester. Rochester.
Okay. Well, yeah. She turned Brit. She turned Brit, too, as you can tell by my whole accent. Yeah.
She did. Yeah, to be married
Detroit
to Guy
City.
Ritchie for 3 years, and she developed that whole accent.
Hello.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Did they live in England for a while, her and Guy Ritchie?
Hello.
I would guess, yeah. I don't know.
That's a question, though. How long does it take? I mean, I'm sure there's an answer from someone who would know, but like, how long does it take to pick up an accent when you move somewhere?
It's a good question.
Well, but we all know people, you know, who live here or from other places, and they've maintained their accents from their native countries. So
yeah,
sure.
I don't know.
But does it change? Like, does it change at all? Does it morph when you? Because I know what you're talking about. People that have moved here and still, if they were British or they were Australian or whatever they are,
or Pennsylvania
or Irish or whatever it might be, that they still have an accent, maybe it lessens over time or
probably.
It changes, right? It must.
Yeah.
Throw that in.
Maybe coming back, we can hear some of it was Madonna and David Letterman. I remember that was like the one time when I heard it. We're like,
I go, what the F
what
is
the
going
hell
on?
Is she, yeah, what is she doing?
Is this a joke? Is this a bit or something?
When did
I remember
she start
that.
Talking like this. Yeah. Terrible.
I went downstairs yesterday and I asked my wife, I said, hey, did you do the Warsh? She's like, what? Did you do the what? The Warsh. Did you do the what? Did you do the laundry? Like in Pittsburgh, called Warsh. You got to do the Warsh.
Yeah, but have you always said that, or did you just bring that one out as a little Corona treat?
I think it's a little Corona treat. It's a little
losing
your mind treat, right?
Yeah.
A treat, coronavirus treat. So in the NFL, as they get ready for their draft, they're very concerned about their video and their connections and their ability to talk to the home base. Uh-huh. And we've heard a lot about the technical aspects of it, and now they're going to do a mock draft.
Right.
Well, because of everyone needing to connect through the internet during this, that means teams are needing to send IT guys to different homes.
Yeah, they're IT.
Bill Belichick, what's your setup? You know, what's your conference? What's your way to conference in on video? What is it that your phone setup is? You know, what are we setting up here? Conference calls, that type of thing. There's a problem with all this, and that is, people that work for teams, players, I'm sorry, scouts, coaches, front office personnel, they don't want the IT guys coming into their homes. In fact, IT guys are also hesitant to go into their homes during this to set up whatever equipment it is that they believe is necessary and what the league needs everybody to have to go ahead and do this. What do you make of that?
I just think this is the league and some teams that are behind the eight ball trying to come up with, I don't want to say excuses, but reasons to push the draft off a little bit more so they could get their ducks in line, so to speak.
Hmm.
Because you and I and Hardy are doing our shows from home right now, obviously, on the simulcast. And for us to continue to do something, if we had some issues that we needed to fix, if I would have Dennis Knutson, Charlie, or Dan have to come to my house and be in my room with me here to make sure that my show would function properly, I'd be totally fine with those guys coming in here. Because I've worked with them. I know them. I know what they do at work. And this would be like Jimmy D from the Patriots showing up at Bill's house, who does all of Bill's video stuff and IT issues, would have Jimmy D right next to him at the draft. And I think Bill would be fine with that.
All right. Well, I think,
you know,
there's
two different
things here, though. Number one, I myself don't want anyone in the house right now, nor am I going into anyone else's house. I think that's just part of what we're supposed to be doing.
We've been that way.
So,
right.
I'm saying that to function in a big thing that we need to do as a league, we got to get through this 2-day draft, and you're going to have your IT guy with you. All right, guys. After that,
why
he's
do you
out.
Need to? No, you see, I would go along with your excuse making, only because, and I'm not questioning whether or not people want someone in their house or if IT guys want to go to other people's houses. I'm totally on board with that. Where I question it as excuse making is, what do you need to do? I mean, people around the world have figured out how to use Zoom, Skype, all this stuff for the first time. I mean, yeah. You don't need, you know, for well, I don't think NFL
told you,
executives
there's no,
need a
there's
total
no timeouts,
broadcast
buddy.
Setup.
No timeouts. Remember, the commissioner said there won't be any timeouts if you guys have glitches or issues. We're doing picks. We're making
well,
picks.
What? I mean, why would you need an IT person to come into your home
you see
to
this thing here?
Install and run Skype?
See this thing on the broadcast? Said this thing's a board. If this thing got fried or I had some issues with it, I wouldn't know what damn button.
But the
these
NFL
coaches are so just into just watching film and just all right, send it to me. What do I do? Click this? Okay, tell me.
They don't
to do.
Need a board. They need a computer. They need a they don't even need that. They need an iPad. That's all you really need. And if it comes down to it, this is what I said before. All right, the video conferencing is down. All right. Do you still have text message? Do you still have a telephone?
Yeah.
Those are the fail safes that are in place. All you really need to be able to do is know what the team ahead of you picked and
yeah.
when you're on the clock
no,
and
I
be
agree
able
with that.
To communicate your pick to the league, to Roger
I agree with
Goodell.
That, but
that's
I,
it. That's
I,
all you
I
need.
I think if the league's going through this, they may have this process set up where there's these three vital people need to be there, the head coach, maybe the GM, and this IT guy. And it's like game day. If the visiting headphones go down. You know, hey, Mike Tomlin, I'm here on the Patriots broadcast. And my heads, okay, Patriots have to take theirs off to make sure it is a level playing field. Because if one guy's IT goes down, or connection, or connectability, or video conferencing goes down, then everybody else has to go down. They could have 32, you know, independent IT guys that, okay, we all need to be on the same page with this. This is how we're going to run the system. I think this is why. They have to have a dry run. They've got to go through this thing with a dry run to make sure it's up and running. But I'm with you, Arthur. You know who you're picking, sort of, right? Or at least you have a group of three or five guys you know you're picking. And there's other ways to communicate. But bleep starts hitting the fan when that 15 minutes all of a sudden goes down to 9, 8. We're trying to pull off this draft trade, and I can't get on a damn phone with Matt Patricia with the Lions. Now, what are we going to do here? That's why you need an IT guy.
Yeah, I just... No, I don't know that the same rules are going to be in place for the draft as they would be for during a game. And you talk about, like, if one team goes down, then they all have to go down. Do they? I mean, do the same rules apply for draft day as they would for an NFL game?
I don't know what setup
game?
They have. Yeah, I would assume so.
Well then
if some team gets screwed and they can't get the pick in, then what do you do?
I mean, there's other ways to do it. I mean, my thing is that you've got plenty of time. You've got enough time on the board, the 10 minutes that – if you don't get the pick in on time, it's your fault. Per usual, they move on.
So we're what, 2 weeks? 2 weeks away from today is the draft.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah. So again, if you don't get the pick in, that's on you. You can't blame technology for not getting the pick in, because if you're waiting to the last second under these circumstances, you got nobody to blame but yourself if something breaks down. And if something does break down, you just pick up the phone and you call. It's not that hard.
I'm sure they have hard lines. They have the independent cell phone. They've got to have this stuff set up. They've
right.
got to have backup.
So, the worst
so someone
case
misses
scenario
a pick,
is...
if someone misses a pick, that's on them. It's not on their technology. It's not on the league. Teams should get their picks in. You know, let's try and aim for getting them in, not at the last second. Try that. And try and get it in 90 seconds earlier. Can you at least do that? Like, the 10 minutes is an abundance of time for you to make your pick. You should be able to make it in less time than that. And so use the time wisely in case something screws up. That's all.
Yeah, I don't think there's any reason for everybody to have to totally shut down and do it. You got fail safes in place, and those are telephones, hardline telephones. Use your ability to video conference or something else. Oh, well, this sucks for you. Can you still get the pick in? Yep, then you do it.
We will talk to Michael McCann of Sports Illustrated coming up at 1:20 today about some of the legal hurdles that we had mentioned in his story earlier this week about sports coming back and How will these leagues clear some of those hurdles? We'll talk to him at 1:20. We'll get back to your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's he got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six 617-779-0985 is the telephone number.
You know what, Peter?
Yeah, what's up?
Look at that studio there. You talk about how clean it looks and good in there. Those water bottles haven't moved. Those half-drank water bottles have not moved from their location in there.
Well, it's been a ghost town in there.
I don't think it's been clean.
Well, would you pick up someone else's water bottle right now?
If I was the...
First of all, you don't pick up your own water bottle, so...
I don't use a water bottle.
Bag of chips, whatever it might be.
I mean, if it's a trash can, I put it in a trash can.
I'd like to ask Maz.
No trash can, I throw it on the floor. Where the trash can should be. And then Maz picks it up.
There it is. So you do throw it in a trash can as long as the trash can is placed conveniently under wherever it is you're throwing your trash.
That's where I've been told to put it, right there in that trash can. Yep, place your stuff in the trash.
Unless, of course, the trash can is not there, you just throw it on the floor in the
same. Or it's just over full. If it's filled, yes.
I wouldn't be picking up other people's water bottles.
Not now. Point in time. I mean, but you'd think maybe you move it if you... I don't know. I would just leave it there.
Who do you want to move it?
The fumigators.
It's been like 3 weeks. It's probably safe to touch now, I would think, at this point.
You
right?
think, Jim? It's been there a while, right? I'm not wrong.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I only looked at the studio yesterday.
Like, these are plastic water bottles. These are not like your specific metal ones where it could live on there for 9 days, right? Just your average plastic water bottle, half drank, just sitting there. Little old water.
Studio is very clean, by the way. Very clean.
Nice.
Carl on the Cape wants the Patriots to go big on quarterbacks in the draft. Carl.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. How are you?
Hey. Hi, Carl. Who do you want them to get?
Well, listen, I don't necessarily think that they're going to do it because, truthfully, I think it's Stidham all the way, and Belichick's had it set in his mind for a long time. But that said, if they wanted to go ahead and get Burrow, I think they could easily swing a deal. I think they could
pull
that deal off with Tooney. To Detroit, go get the third-round pick this year and give up
what third round pick?
First round overall. Third pick overall, not third
you
round.
You think Burrow's going to be there at three?
No, what I'm saying is...
If Burrow's there at three, I say do it. Do it five times.
What I'm saying is you're going to give up your this year's first-round pick and Joe Tooney for Detroit's third pick overall this year.
If Burrow's there, yes.
Yeah. Plus, then give
absolutely.
Up next year's first round pick. So now you're giving up next year's first round pick and this year's first round pick. Go all in, and you got Burrow.
Do you think it's only two picks? That's what it would take.
Do it. I'm in.
I don't see it taking much more than that. Maybe if they're going to throw in a third round or a fourth round pick somewhere.
Joe Burrow won't be there at two.
I could tell you that today, Carl, Peter King made the case that the Miami Dolphins should give up four first rounders
four.
To get Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
I think what he was saying was trade number 23 and Tooney to get up to three and then trade next year's first and number three to get from 3 to 1.
It still might not be enough.
That ain't enough.
Why would you do that for one extra? So you're only getting one extra first round pick
to drop down two spots.
To drop down two spots, that's not enough.
Yeah, Detroit be like, well, what the hell? Why'd we do that to help them to get to there?
Either way, I'd look at it from the perspective of having the first pick, what would you give that up for? You'd have to get a boatload to potentially give up the guy you think is the quarterback.
When the way he explained that initially, I thought he thinks Burrow's going to be sitting there at three and go ahead and do it. I'm like, then, yeah, okay. I mean, he's going to be gone.
Yeah, no, he's going to be long gone.
Yeah.
You will not be available, so you're going to have to come up with somebody else. Ed's in Weymouth on Tua. What's up, Ed?
Hey, what's up, guys? Long time, first time. I just wanted to say I do not want the Patriots to get Tua. I'm actually the same ethnicity as him. He's Samoan. I'm Samoan. But, you know, lefties, they've just never seemed to work out in the NFL. And I don't want the Patriots mortgaging their future to get this quarterback. He's injury prone, and that's something that you can't coach that. And there have been so many quarterback busts between 1 and 15 over the years, and I feel like he's going to be a bust. I can read you a couple names here. Jake Locker, Christian Ponder, all drafted in the top 10. All these guys that are busts, and I want nothing to do with Tua. I'd rather just stick with what they got. I'd rather have the Red Rocket even come in on a discounted deal and have him go in there rather than get Tua and, you know, trade up for him. So, yeah, that's all I got.
Interested in your left. So I like how you discriminate against lefty quarterbacks. That's something we haven't talked about.
But not against Samoans.
Right. Yeah. Personally, I didn't know where that was going.
Yeah, I just want to preface this by saying I'm Samoan, but not left-handed. That's going to play in
righty. But usually us Samoans, we stick together. There's not too many of us. But
yeah, you're tough
guys,
to see.
You know,
I know.
Like Troy Polamalu in the league is Samoan.
Toughness.
The Rock, he's Samoan. But I just feel like...
I'd credit him for being Samoan because he comes back from these injuries because he's a tough son of a bitch.
No, I just thought, you know, like with me, I'm against short quarterbacks. Like, nope, too short. I'm wondering if I should consider a ban on lefties as well.
Yeah, the NFL has already almost considered it. Give me the last few lefties that have been really good.
No, it's been a while. I mean, everyone automatically goes to Steve Young, right?
Boomer Esiason.
Boomer
was
a lefty.
He retired over 20 years ago, Steve Young.
Right, not recently.
Yeah.
Brunel was a lefty. That's the one that... Brunel and Young in the 90s were the lefties.
Vic's the only guy. Vic's the only guy in the 2000s.
Oh, Vic too. Vic.
Vic was the best lefty I've ever seen.
Vic was insane. Like,
that
he was
dude
so
could
good.
Spin it. His ball.
Holy crap.
Scott Mitchell. Yeah, is responsible, I believe, for the Lions' only playoff win. Wasn't that Scott Mitchell at quarterback for the Lions?
Tebow was a lefty. Tebow was a lefty quarterback. Yeah.
We're talking about
guys. Can you see Belichick doing that, though? Saying, oh, there's no lefties. That's
like,
the guy. He's a lefty.
Like
that's
punters? He needs a lefty punter, and he needs a lefty quarterback now.
Listen, game plans are based on game planning against right-handed quarterbacks every week. He's got a lefty.
We're going to exploit the left-handed loophole in the NFL.
I tell you what, I've talked to receivers that can't stand the lefties because you get so trained in working with the normalcy of 98% of the people you work with are right-handed, and they throw. The ball comes in and rotates differently. So it's like, whoa, I'm not used to catching the ball that way. I'm talking about this. Boomer was a lefty.
Matt Leinart?
Wait. Boomer was a lefty, though?
Boomer's lefty, yeah. Boom, boom. Out go the lights. Yep.
Mark the tape. 617-779-0985. Lefty quarterback. Maybe that needs to be a consideration from now on. No short quarterbacks. No lefty quarterbacks.
Kellen Clean Moore.
If you've ever watched a lefty throw, they wind up. It's weird.
We're going to talk to Michael McCann coming up at 1:20. We did want to get onto you know, there's a lot of these graphics going around Twitter and Facebook. Only pick three. That seems to be a coronavirus quarantine trend right now. There's one that did catch our eye. We'll touch on it coming up in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.